Brother, I'm going. Run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out of this choke cord. But it's no hope.
What is up, everybody? It is We Too Deep, and we're back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. This is the We Too Deep edition. You know, for those who are new to the channel, on Tuesdays, me and Wavy D sit, we talk wrestling, we do baddie of the week, we do Let's Get Cooking, which is our fantasy booking, and then a second episode each week. Typically on Fridays. However, there are some weeks where I have to, you know, I'm not off on Friday, so I can't record on Friday, but I record on the other. So this week is on Thursday. Next week will be Wednesday. And then we should go back to normal on Fridays for this We Too Deep episode. Last week I mentioned a little bit, this is the housekeeping portion. Last week I mentioned I may change this to like the We Too Deep show, and I decided not to change the branding because I'm going to talk about the same thing. It would be confusing to have to do all of that. There's no point for two shows, to be perfectly honest. So with that, if you watched Tuesday's show, we had a new intro, and I liked it when I made it. But then I sat here as we were recording, as I started recording with Wavy D on Tuesday. This intro is like close to 100 seconds long, like a minute and a half long, right? And that's a long intro in a world where most people, most clicks, you know, if they're not intrigued in the first, you know, 10, 15 seconds, they're clicking to the next video, right? So to concede for that, we're going to bring back, plus I like the old intro a lot, the Hulk Hogan one you guys just heard. I'm going to concede by playing that as the intro, and then the outro will be the new outro, which you'll see at the end of this episode. And so that's how we'll do this from now on. If you guys want the full length song to bop your head to, DM me, send me a message on the Discord, comment on this video. Find a way for me to send it to you. I have the file. I can send you the full length of the new intro, but we're just going to play the outro with that from now on. With that, we got a long show. We're gonna talk about some wrestling stuff, but as always, I do want to make this a little bit more than just wrestling, and so I'm gonna throw in the sports talk. We got a lot in the sports category to cover, and so let's go over sort of the general outline of this show. I mentioned on Tuesday when we were talking about Wrestle Dream, I had my own thoughts that I didn't want to share on Tuesday because it was a foundational segment on this show for today. And so we'll go into those. You'll notice by the title of this, you know, I'm going to play back into a the episode I made last Friday. You know, I called the IWC soft, and I got something to say about a little bit more to add to that, and that I believe they proved me right, and I'm gonna explain to you what I mean. You'll notice in the thumbnail for this episode, if you're watching on YouTube, has Otis on it. Now, typically Otis doesn't sell people to come watch your show. Why is Otis? Well, Otis gets his own segment today. And we're going to talk about Otis and my plea, my dear Triple H, I need you to fix this for me. On the other thing, we'll talk about, I have a new favorite tag team in the WWE. I'm going to tell you who that is. And then I have a statement, right? Before we get to sports talk, which is what we'll end this, I have a little bit of a thing that I want to talk about. We typically do Thirsty Tuesday. I'm going to release the Thirsty Tuesday from this week's results. You'll find out that today. And then I have to talk about this idea of what a baddie is. Wavy D says something to me in a Discord chat that we're in that said something about me that we gotta address, and we're gonna do that at the end of this episode before sports talk, at the end of the wrestling portion of this. And we're gonna play a little game called the We Too Deep WWE The Bachelor, right? So who do I think is in WWE? Like, if I had to choose certain people, right? So I've already done the bracket. And I'm just going to sort of display the results of that bracket, right? Who would I personally choose, right? Let's move forward, though. Let's bring up WrestleDream. So I'm not going to talk about the PLE. We went in some depth as much as we can on Tuesday. I want to talk about two things that I mentioned there, but go in a little bit more depth. The first was Adam Cole. Adam Cole comes back, and the dude looks like he hadn't touched a single gym equipment, a single piece of gym equipment in the however long he's been out. Bro looked like he didn't work out once. Bro looked like all he's done was stream and play video games. And I'm not hating on that. Not hating on that at all. But you don't look like a pro wrestler to me. You come back and I can probably be, like, I look more like a pro wrestler than Adam Cole, right? Bro's weak as shit, dude, right? Like, he doesn't have that look. And that's the reason I bring this up is, like, there's a specific sort of look that a lot of fans, especially casual fans, have when you say the word pro wrestler, right? We're going to do this live on air, right? I didn't plan to do this, but this thought just came into my head. I'm gonna go to ChatGTP and I'm gonna type in create the prototypical pro wrestler. And I'm gonna show you what the image is. It's creating the image now. Okay. Create the prototypical, first off, they even got the WWE belt on them. So first off, this is, look at that picture. Look at that picture, right? So when I, right, muscular in the WWE, right? Bro look like Perk Angle over here, right? When I say create an image of the prototype, first off, that AI image it did 2 points. It proved 2 points that the casual fans have been saying. When you ask prototypical, now AI works in a particular way. This was actually a topic of conversation that we Nerdy D had on his Wednesday show yesterday night. AI works only based on the information that is given to it, right? So a lot of people who view AI as going to take over the world, it can't happen. It literally can't happen unless it's programmed by a human being to do it, right? AI, the way AI works is it has to be fed information. It can't create something out of itself, right? It has to be fed information for it to learn. And now once it learns it, then it's good. It can spit it back out. But it's literally plug and play. It has to be told something before it does it. It can't think for itself, right? So everyone who's sort of like post-apocalyptic, like AI is the end of the world, we got to slow down on that, right? But when you go to AI and you say, okay, what is the prototypical pro wrestler supposed to look like? And you get muscular jacked WWE champion, it proves 2 points to me. AI, based on knowledge around the world that's been fed to it, believes that a pro wrestler works for WWE, which shouldn't be, you know, it's not a big slap on the back or slap in the face. AEW is just not talked about in the mainstream. There's less information to be fed into AI about AEW. But again, the prototypical pro wrestler is the big, meaty, muscular guy, not Adam Cole. So, right? And then the second thing I want to talk about with this is Bryan Danielson, right? Now, I know we talked about this, and this is actually going to answer a question that Bobby Sherwood in the Discord, he asked about, like, should a show, we asked for topics on Tuesday, and so for everyone who's new, if you're not in the Discord, link in the description, or scan the QR code in the outro. When you get into the Discord, you can ask questions any day of the week for me to discuss or for me and Wavy D to discuss on Tuesday. Go to topic suggestions under the Slapping Meat category. And just if you have questions, if you have a topic you want us to cover, post them there. So I haven't received a bunch of those in the last couple of weeks, which is fine. I can come up with shows my own self. That's fine. But me and Wavy D asked for some on Tuesday during the day so that we could record Tuesday nights and answer them. Bobby Sherwood, you know, probably busy during the day. That's fine. He comes in after the episode is recorded and says, hey, can you discuss this topic? I think we did a decent enough job covering this topic, but I want to answer the question forthright and give you credit for the topic. He asked something along the lines of, should every show end in a positive manner? His exact question, that way I'm answering the exact question, is something to do with, like, should wrestling shows have a happy ending? Do they have to have a happy ending, given the Wrestle Dream controversy? And so the answer to that question is no. They don't necessarily have to have happy endings. For individual stories, I will say. But I think my issue with the Bryan Danielson thing is that if he was going to lose, according to my knowledge, now granted I'm not the biggest AEW supporter, but according to my knowledge, the entire idea was Bryan Danielson won the title, and the second he lost the title, he was going to step away from wrestling, right? So essentially him losing was going to be his retirement. Now, I've always said, if you're going to retire, you should retire on your back. Absolutely, I believe that. But I also don't believe that this story was that. I also believe, like you don't pass the torch to Moxley. Moxley's already the torchbearer, right? So if he was going to go out, like Wavy D said, it should have been, if Danielson was going to lose in a retirement match, it should have been passing the torch to the next face, which is Darby Allin. Now, maybe that's what the ultimate goal is here, making Darby sort of the superhero in this faction, but you did a very bad job presenting that as a possibility with how you did Wrestle Dream, right? We can talk about the plastic bag. I've already gone on a rant of that the first time they did. I don't think it's necessary. I think it goes too far. I think in terms of sponsorship and potential fan base, you know, I used the example last time that, like, ECW would have had Kurt Angle in ECW had they not done the crucifixion, right? That was the line that Kurt Angle was not willing to put his name on. He's like, that went too far, so I'm not going to sign with you guys, right? I'm thinking of talent. You know, if I'm a wrestler out there, 100% honest with you, if I'm a wrestler and I want to be professional and I want to make my way up through the business and I have an offer between WWE and AEW, and AEW's offers more money, more TV time, maybe a championship right away, and WWE, I'm going to have to earn my way up through NXT and all of that, right? AEW's offer is more attractive, but then I watch the product, and you're committing attempted murder on the screen. Logically, first off, like, there was no cops on the scene. There was no security that really tried to stop it from happening. You just allowed attempted murder to happen on your screen. So from a logical standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. But from a talent standpoint, if I saw that, I'm be honest with you, I would not sign with AEW because I think they take things a little too far. It's not logical. I look at what WWE's producing at the moment, and not all of their stories are logical. Not all of their stories are great. Absolutely right. But a majority of what goes on in WWE is very logical. You can say, okay, well, this happened and this makes sense, and the result and the reaction to this happening makes somewhat of a logical sense. The only gimmick in WWE that really doesn't fit within those rules is the Wyatt Six. And I think it's why we're seeing a little bit less of it. People just don't care about it, right? But y'all know my feelings on that gimmick, right? To me, if you're not going to pass the torch to Darby, which is what should have happened, Bryan Danielson should have at least been given a standing ovation as he walked out of the arena, right? Instead, he gets, you know, strangled, put on a stretcher, and wheeled out of the arena. No chance for a standing ovation in his home state. None of that, right? I just don't think that's a way you send someone out. He could have laid on his back, handed over the title to Darby, held Darby's hand in victory, did the little point over to him, had Darby leave the ring. Bryan Danielson could have had a standing ovation as he walked out, and he's done. That's a career, right? Now, maybe there's a bigger match plan here. Maybe I think it was Bobby Sherwood, Boebert, who has stated that he believes that this is going to end up in some sort of unsanctioned match, and maybe that's what the they're leading to. I'm just not a big fan of the storyline. I think it's too convoluted. I think it involves too many pieces, and it's just not individually something that I'm into. And the critique to that is, well, if WWE did this, you would be cheering for it. And I hate when people say that because I sit here. Not every week, but I sit here a majority of the weeks and call out stupid shit that WWE does when they do stupid shit, right? I have an open mind to a lot of different opinions. Like my opinion on Gunther has changed a lot since he became world champion. I was pushing hard for him to be world champion. Gave him about 2-3 weeks as world champion to say, "Hey, we got to get this to Germany. Once we get past Germany, I'll reassess how I feel," and now I've reassessed how I feel about Gunther, and now he's got to go up against Cody, and it's just they're not allowing Gunther to shine in the way I know he can shine, right? And or maybe he can't shine the way I think he could have shined, right? And so my whole point of this is more so the larger topic is just Adam Cole wasn't presented in a way that I thought made him look good. He's still scrawny. He doesn't look like a pro wrestler. Bryan Danielson got a shitty way to end his career, if it is the end of his career. And I'm 110% on board that if I'm Bryan Danielson, and that's how they send me off, I don't care if it's his idea or not. I know that's going to be the excuse. Bryan Danielson asked to leave that way. Okay, that's fine. But if I'm Tony Khan and I'm looking towards the future of my company, just got the big TV deal. That congratulations, Tony. You did your thing. You got yourself the new TV deal. But if I'm looking towards the future, the next 3-4 years, and my big thing is right, I'm sending Bryan Danielson home as he retires from full time in ring. With a standing ovation, he doesn't have to win the match, but I don't like the optics. So to answer Boebert's question, I don't believe individual stories need to have happy endings on every show. So, for example, to Cody Rhodes, Wavy D brought up Cody Rhodes on Tuesday, right? So WrestleMania 39, Cody Rhodes lost, but that pushed him into the new storyline that gave us a year of booking of him going through all the obstacles to get to WrestleMania 40, and he wins, right? 100% agree that the the story could have a sad ending. But I also believe that when you're doing a show, right, when you're performing, when you're doing a live event like this, you should always do something that sends the crowd home happy, right? I personally believe that, right? I don't think as a promoter, if I was a wrestling promoter, even for me, if it was, okay, match happens, they did what they did, and Bryan, now I don't know what they did after the, because to do it the way that I would have, you would have had to do it with the story they presented, Bryan Danielson would have had to walk back down the ramp, and that would have broken the story, right? And so I think, personally, maybe it's because I'm biased, and Bryan Danielson is one of my favorite of all time because of the Daniel Bryan run of WrestleMania 30, and that's when I really got into wrestling, and that was a sentimental thing for me because he was my favorite at the time, and everything that was involved in babyface Daniel Bryan getting to that point, right? Maybe I'm a little bit biased. I feel like this dude's given his literally life and limb for WWE and for AEW. And for AEW to not send him out with a standing ovation, it irritated me a little bit, right? I 100%, if I'm Bryan Danielson, I'm looking at my options right now. Okay, I got to get neck surgery. Okay, that's cool. Can I show up at the Royal Rumble and do a WrestleMania match? Can I go long enough, withhold this surgery long enough to have 5 minutes in the Royal Rumble where I eliminate The Miz and set up this WrestleMania match? And can I go for 10, 15 minutes in a final match, the final match of my career against The Miz at WrestleMania 41, where in Las Vegas I win and I get that standing ovation to end my career? Can I do that? Then I can go do the surgery, right? So I don't think WWE needs to sign Daniel Bryan long term. I don't think he needs anything more than WrestleMania. If I'm WWE, that's all I'm signing Bryan Danielson for is WrestleMania. Then say, hey, go do your surgery. And if you want to go back to AEW, go do it. And personally, if Tony Khan loved the business the way he says he loves the business, he would let Bryan Danielson go do 3-4 months with WWE at Royal Rumble, get the send-off at WrestleMania to completely end the career, and then bring Bryan Danielson back wherever he wants. Right, and whatever option he wants. If Tony Khan loved the business the way he said he does, he would allow Bryan Danielson to retire at WWE. That's the company that made Bryan Danielson a global wrestling name, right? Where it wasn't just the ROH and independent wrestling scene fans who knew who he was. He jumped to WWE, made a name for himself. And now that's where the name presence came from, right? WWE made Bryan Danielson who Bryan Danielson is through the Daniel Bryan gimmick, right? And then that's just the fact, right? So that's going to piss some people off, and that's fine. But that is the fact of the matter, right? So let's move on to the title of this episode, right? Last Friday, I made an episode I called the IWC Soft, and I gave a couple reasons why, right? And a lot of basically the ending of that episode, the ending theme of that episode was the IWC just loves to bitch, right? They love to complain about things they truly don't understand, and they just love to bitch, right? Well, that episode gets recorded at like 8-9 in the morning on Friday and then posted around 10-11 a.m. in the morning Eastern time on Friday, last Friday, the 11th. That same night was SmackDown, live from Greenville, South Carolina, right? And in less than 24 hours after I record and post an episode that states that the IWC is soft and all they do is complain, less than 24 hours later on SmackDown, that very night, they proved me right because they bitched and moaned about, oh my God, did Triple H really just allow a man to interrupt this women's title tag team championship segment? Oh, he wouldn't do that if it was another man's match. Guys, shut the fuck up, dude. Like, honestly, shut the fuck up. Right? This is that shit that pisses me off. It pisses me off. Right. And then there's people who want to throw in the race element to it. And Triple H only put the black competitors on the episode because we caught, no, y'all don't understand what's going on. Right. Oh, and of course he has four beautiful black women, which guess what? All four of them are beautiful black women. Absolutely. 100% agree with that. Oh, they had queens in the ring, and Triple H, he put all the queens in the ring and then had a white man. Guys, can you literally shut the fuck up? Right. You proved me right. All you do is bitch. And then I got something new to, and I've been saying this since it happened. A lot of these people, there's two things. There's only two reasons that make any sense as to why this happens. Why this happened, right? Why they complained about this. The first are the white knights. These are, and by white, I don't mean skin tone. I literally mean like white knight, the knight in shining armor, right? They're white knighting people, right? It's the people that don't actually give a fuck, but they want their social media presence and their social media persona. And I do say persona because 95% of these trolls live behind an Anon account. Now, on that app, I understand why people use Anon accounts, especially women. I understand it's a dangerous world in social media for women and for a lot of other people. Hell, even the We Too Deep name here, I do my very best to not announce my first and last name on this show for a reason. And on social media for a reason. I say controversial things at times, and we live in a climate where controversy could get you in trouble in terms of your job, right? And I've seen it firsthand. You know, good luck trying to find where I work. I try not to tell people where I work. I understand keeping yourself as anonymous as possible for safety, right? Especially if you're a woman. 100% understand that. But a lot of these basement dwellers live behind Anon accounts because it gives them the ability to say things they wouldn't say when confronted in real life, right? And so a lot of them use it to like bully people, but a lot of them do it to say things that they don't actually believe, right? So they'll come into defense of like black women wrestlers when really in real life that they don't actually give a fuck. And this, right? But they come to the defense because they want their social media presence to act like they're some big social justice warrior. And it's white knighting. It's crazy. They're fake. They're hypocrites. Right? So that's option number one. It's either that or it's this other one. And it's they don't understand wrestling, and they definitely do not understand how to tell stories. Right? I can tell you 100% right now, there's a reason why Kevin Owens went on when he went on. Right? And it's called storytelling. Right? It's called storytelling. Wrestling, in essence, is storytelling. Right? Kevin Owens, in story, was suspended by the company because of his attack on Cody Rhodes, right? Which they're treating as a random event that was not planned, that was recorded by fans. And we all know it's staged, but that's the illusion of the game. And they're trying to play into it like this wasn't planned, right? And so for guys like Vince Russo, and I love Vince Russo, I think for a lot of my wrestling opinions are because of Vince Russo. I love Vince Russo. I think his booking, like I 100% stand by Vince Russo in that he made the Attitude Era. But he also did a lot of things that didn't really make a lot of fucking sense, right? I could see both sides of the argument, right? But Vince Russo's out here saying shit like, you really want me to believe, bro, that Kevin Owens, bro, was throwing out these punches, bro, and they were the pansiest punches I've ever seen, bro. You really expect me to believe that there was no camera, that these fans just bro. Yeah, yes, bro. I do. That's the whole game of watching wrestling is you live for the story. Like, we all know that this was planned, that this is a story. But a lot of us can throw that away and say, hey, this is a story. I'm not going to think of it in real terms, right? This is a story. So I'm going to watch it as a story. I'm going to let it unfold, right? And so a lot of people who want wrestling to be real truly don't understand the business, right? It's always been about stories, and stories are meant to move away some sense of, with that being said, because I already know people are going, well, why can't you do that with the Wyatt Six? Well, because the Y86 makes no logical sense, right? There's a difference between, like, logic and whether or not there's a believability factor that WWE fans caught some random fight that happened in the parking lot. Right? There's a difference in that, right? Very logical that Kevin Owens would attack Cody Rhodes in the parking lot. Very logical for that to happen. Very logical that if you are in the NXT, if you're in Orlando, Florida on a Tuesday night when NXT is on, if you're in the parking lot, you have about a 92.5% chance of being attacked and having ACL injuries. Because after all, that's where you get written off all the time, right? There's a whole legend behind the NXT parking lot, right? And they made a whole story out of that, right? And so it's a story, right? And so these people don't understand storytelling. Kevin Owens attacks Cody Rhodes. They're treating it in-house. He gets suspended. So because he's suspended, he can't just walk down the ramp. He can't walk in the employee entrance. He has to sneak his way in. And by the time you do that, Kevin Owens is very recognizable, right? So, like, if you're trying to sneak your way into something, you're very recognizable, right? And so he has to hit the ring, say his piece as quickly as possible before security and everything comes to take him out, right? So that's why he did what he did, right? Vince Russo did this all the time in early, like, beginning of TNA. The most popular TNA promo that I can remember, like, at the early start of TNA, like 2003 TNA, was when Vince Russo had this thing. I don't remember what he called it, but he would just randomly walk into, or have people randomly walk into the arena during random segments, right? And he did it once against Roddy Piper. And Roddy, if y'all haven't heard that Roddy Piper, I think it's 2003, like, shoot TNA promo where he just goes all in on Vince Russo. Very good promo. Very good promo. Go check that out. But, like, Kevin Owens sneaks into the arena, wants to say his piece to Cody Rhodes, and then leave. He gets, right, it's storytelling. It doesn't affect the match. The match still happens, right? Now they don't understand wrestling. What do I mean by that? Because now the next complaint is, did Triple H really only have these people in the ring for 4 minutes? Wouldn't happen to a men's match. Guys, y'all, this just tells me you don't understand wrestling. It's called an enhancement match for a reason, because it enhances Bianca and Jade as they go towards the damage control match, right? But it also brings recognition to Jakara and Lash Legend, to a part of the fan base who doesn't watch NXT, who have no idea who they are. So they're there, they're in the match. Now they have 2, 3, 4 minutes of recognition where they get to do some of their stuff. It gives Bianca and Jade a win going into the match against Damage Control on Monday, which gets interfered by Jakara and Lash. And then the whole story plays into on NXT, where Jakara and Lash will now face Io and Kyrie on NXT next Tuesday. Like, there's a whole story here. You don't understand wrestling. You don't understand storytelling. That's the only those two reasons. You're a white knight, or you don't understand wrestling and storytelling. The only two possible reasons why you're bitching about this title match on SmackDown, right? And you're soft, you're some baby back bitches, and you need to just stop complaining. Complain about, find something logical to complain about on the show that has nothing to do with, well, it's because they're a woman, or because they're a minority group. Like, I'm so tired of hearing about that. I'm so tired of hearing about how Triple H is some sort of racist because he doesn't push African Americans. Meanwhile, he's pushing every Mexican on TV time. He's given every single black talent TV time that's worth something. Sometimes things are based on merit and talent, not identity, right? And that's the thing that really bothers me, is I would rather have a show that has the best talent, regardless of if they're white, black, brown, yellow, purple, green, blue, orange, or pink. And it's just the best show. It's the best stories. It's the best talent. It's the best matches. That's what I think Triple H is looking for. And that's ultimately what I would book for as well. Show me you're the best, and then you'll get TV time, right? TV time needs to be earned, not just given out. So we'll move forward with that. with an NXT review. I thought this week's NXT was good. We're back in the Performance Center. Crowd energy is hype. New set look. That's great. I love it. We get just some points that I enjoyed. We get Tony D coming out. I believe he started the show, basically saying, "Look, I know this isn't done between me and you. Oh boy, you're a monster, but I beat you. I had you right where I wanted you. I faked you out." And then Oba comes out and says, basically, you know, you beat me once, but you're not going to beat me twice. And says, hey, by the way, at Halloween Havoc, your little family can't be ringside, right? They're not going to be there. And then he walks up the ring, and we have the, you know, as we're heading into Halloween Havoc, we have the wheel that determines gimmicks of matches. He spins the wheel, tables, ladders, and scares. Which basically just means anything goes. I don't like that they have like 18 different names for the same gimmick. Just call it Extreme Rules and get in, or No Holds Barred and get on with it. We get that match at Halloween Havoc. That's going to be a banger of a match. Ultimately, I do believe that Tony D is going to win. And they'll either do one of two things with Oba. He's going to the Rumble or he's moving up to the world title picture, which I think is where he's headed against Trick Williams, personally. We get a bunch of other great segments. Rin Sinclair versus Stephanie Vaquer and Stephanie's debut in NXT, her first match on TV, was a very, very fun match, right? Just a lot of innovative little holds and grapples. It's not for everyone. If you're not an X's and O person and you tend to just not care about what's going on between the ropes, you probably won't like this match. But this was a fun little 6-7 minute match, and it really showed what Rin Sinclair can do, but also showed that Stephanie Vaquer is a bad bitch, right? And it then leads into the story. Because Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez came out, attacked Vaquer, which then led Julia to come out to run interference. So we get this match for Halloween Havoc booked. Halloween Havoc is next week. It's approaching very, very quickly. So next Wednesday will actually be a prediction show for Halloween Havoc. We may do it Tuesday. I may see if Wavy D wants to predict Halloween Havoc, if he's up to date with current date NXT and wants to predict that. So we get that. That was a good match. Lexus King versus Aura Mensah. As much as I love Aura Mensah and Lexus King, I just didn't really necessarily care about this individual match. So I did fast forward through this. Not necessarily. Lexus King gets the win, and he's looking like he's moving to a baby face, or maybe he's playing us all, about to turn into his dad, right? And who knows? I'm interested, intrigued with that story. The Brooks Jensen, Ashante, the Adonis thing, pretty cool. Carmen Petrovic playing a little role in this. Is she flirting with Adonis, or is she turning on Adonis type thing? I like that. I like Jada Parker gets involved in the Keita Lions versus Lola Vice. We got a lot of ass in that match. Like, it was just the three biggest booties in the industry. We got booty after booty after booty in that match. If you were a man there, you probably enjoyed that set. Great match, by the way. But Jada Parker gets involved. She then goes and interrupts a Tatum Paxley backstage interview. Tatum is, you know, playing this role perfectly. I think it really fits what she can do. She's doing very well with it, right? And, yeah, so very good, right? But it all sort of culminates you know, standard NXT so far, but we get this triple threat to determine the number one contender for Trick Williams at Halloween Havoc between Ethan Page, Javon Evans, and Wes Lee. Prior in the night, in a backstage interview, Wes Lee basically called out Javon, saying, "You're not the, you have no, you don't have near as the amount of potential that I have. You know, right? The only thing I haven't done here is won this title. Stay out of my way." Right? This match was a banger. Matt, this match itself could have been on a PLE. Was a banger. Ultimately, Ethan Page wins. Javon Evans and Wes Lee will be the next feud, which is awesome. Javon Evans is there, right? Javon Evans is ready. I think he just needs more time in terms of, I think putting a title on someone too early might damage their booking. I think they're really taking it slow with Javon because he's only like 20 years old and he has time to grow. He has the in-ring and the character work, it feels like. I just think there's a hierarchy in what they want to do. I think Triple H and Shawn Michaels have an idea and a plan on how to book this thing. And I think they're taking their time with Javon, letting him build himself, getting some notoriety and some banger matches. And he is the future. You don't put him against Randy Orton and have the Randy Orton rub if you don't trust Javon Evans, right? And so he is a future piece. But I think ultimately the reason that they went the direction they went is ultimately what I believe the next big main event title picture is, and that's going to be, I can book the next two title runs, right? So you're going to have Trick right now. Now, Trick Williams, I believe, will be the next person to be moved up to Raw or SmackDown, right, via the draft. Personally, I believe he'll be in the Royal Rumble. And I believe post-Mania, he will be drafted to Raw or SmackDown. More than likely, to Netflix in Raw. He's going to beat Ethan Page. Ethan Page wins. They spin it. I think it's like Devil's Playground. Again, I think that just means everything goes. It may be a cage match. I don't know what Devil's Playground fully means, but a lot of it just means anything goes, right? It's just their excuse to give you 8 Extreme Rules matches with different names, right? And they're not going to get – those will probably be the only two. They'll probably get a women's match with some sort of gimmick. But other than that, it'll probably just be those three. The point that I was making, though, is I think Trick Williams will be the next one called up. So Trick's winning at Halloween Havoc, and I believe there may be one more. Or I believe Royal Rumble weekend they run a show. Or Vengeance Day is probably going to be Royal Rumble weekend. It's probably what's going to happen, Vengeance Day. And they'll probably run Royal Rumble February the 1st. And February the 2nd will probably be Vengeance Day. And I believe Trick Williams shows up at Rumble, and I believe he loses the title at Vengeance Day to Obafemi. I believe Obafemi will be the next NXT champion. And then the story after that, you could run, I think you run Oba through the summer, maybe even the rest of next year with the long NXT title run that ends by Javon Evans playing the David and Goliath story of you're the big giant, I'm the small guy that has to be innovative, I can't beat you. Again, I would run a whole feud, have, you know, Oba win 2 matches, give one last chance, and Javon Evans finally does it, right? And that's how I book the next year of the NXT Championship. Obafemi, Javon Evans. That's the order of progression for me. That's why I think they're taking it slow with Javon Evans, right? That's where I'm at. NXT, it's NXT. It's the greatest thing on wrestling, in my opinion. I say this every week, but like it's the same. The bar is so high for NXT. I'll say when they go below the bar, but you can't go higher than what NXT already does. Like Like, it's already the best. It's the best, right, thing on TV. So let's move on to the next. And this is my dear WWE, dear Triple H. I need you to do one thing for. I don't ask for a lot. I need you to do one thing, right? I want you to do a lot of things, but I need you to do one thing. I need you to make Otis serious again. Make Otis serious again. Massa. Make Otis serious again. What are we saving him from? Your shitty-ass booking of him? He has a free Otis shirt. He has several of them. We freed him from Chad Gable. Now what are we freeing him from? Shitty booking? Because he's jobber status again, and it's a shame because he's really good at what he does, right? Take him, take Maxxine Dupri, even if they got to separate. Both of them have a lot of potential that I feel is being wasted at the very bottom of this card, jobbing to teams like the War Raiders, which is the flash in the pan group that people are going to want back. The indie fans are all happy, but guys, we're going to get the same shit from them. They just don't dress like Vikings anymore. I don't know what new you expect to happen here. I wasn't a fan of them in NXT. Didn't give a fuck when they were War Machine on the indies. Had no idea who the fuck they were. They came to NXT, couldn't be War Machine, so they were War Raiders. Didn't give a fuck when they were tag champions down here. They moved up. They didn't want to put War on Raw or SmackDown, so they named them Viking Raiders. We saw what we are, the Viking Experience or whatever the fuck this thing was called, and no one gave a fuck about it. So now they're War Raiders again, and we get a minimum pop. The crowd went very mild at when the music started playing, and the only people who actually care are the marks that watch wrestling no matter what the gimmicks are. And so I don't see this run with, right? So you sacrifice Alpha Academy not only to the Wyatts, and they got the shit end of that deal. But now you're going to give them the shit end of the deal of the War Raiders, which in 6 months may fucking be released. They won't be. That's hyperbole. But you get the point. No one's going to be talking about the War Raiders in 6 months. But speaking of tag teams, I do have a new favorite tag team. And that's American Made. This is the perfect heel tag team for me, right? The leaning into that pro-American... like dickheadery that we have here, right? Some people who are like super pro-American, in terms of like, oh, I drive a they're using all the negative American stereotypes that people in Europe have of us that we may not see as issues, but when presented in a way that is irritating and annoying, right? It's very good, right? I love it. I think it makes all of them look good. This should have always been the plan for Diamond Mine. I know they tried Roddy Strong. It just didn't work. Chad Gable's much better. I like American Made. They're my new favorite tag team in WWE. All right, so now we're going to move on. That's the end of my rant. I got to address the Thirsty Tuesday, excuse me. Thirsty Tuesday results for this week. They are official. Voting did end this morning. I needed to request help. We had four votes. So I needed a fifth to break some ties. All right, so we'll go through this. If you didn't watch Tuesday's episode, go listen to that real quick and the ending of that and listen to our reasoning. So the most obvious of the N1s here is Sabrina Carpenter versus Lainey Wilson. I already expected for me to take a loss, and I did. 5 votes for Sabrina, 0 for Lainey Wilson. 100% expected that to happen, right? 100% expected that to happen. The next one I expected to lose was Simone Biles versus Ruby Rose. It was closer than I thought, with 3 votes Ruby Rose, 2 votes Simone Biles. So I am 0-2 in this round, which is fine. Livy Dunn versus Sydney Sweeney was one that I saw going 50-50. And with 3 votes, Livy Dunn moves on past Sydney Sweeney. With that meaning, Livy Dunn moves on. And what could be possibly the hardest competition, because this was one that me and Wavy D had sort of together. And the reason I had her on my list wasn't that I thought Sydney Sweeney was attractive or you know, baddie material. It was, I know what men look at, how to exploit it in terms of, like, photos. They like Sydney Sweeney's titty. That's literally the only thing that made Sydney Sweeney popular, was that she shows her titties and she's willing to get naked in movies, and people like that, right? Men like that. And so that's the only reason she would have been in my life. Happy to give that to you, AVD, because now she's out. She's out. Livvy Dunn wins. Livvy Dunn beats her, right? So then we get to this last matchup. Margot Robbie versus Madeline Klein. And this is 100% people just voting on name. And I expected Maddie Klein to lose this. She did. Margot Robbie's moving forward. I go 1-3 here. But these three that lost, Simone Biles, Maddie Klein, Lani Wilson, are all justified by the fact that I'm now able to remove and take out probably one of Wavy D's strongest competitors in Sydney Sweeney, right? So we took some losses, but we gave him a detrimental loss, right? Lani Wilson was never going to win the tournament at all, right? Simone Biles more than likely wasn't going to lose the tournament at all. Madeline Klein probably could have an opportunity had she moved on, but probably wouldn't have won the tournament at all. Sydney Sweeney probably would have had she made it past this round until she met up, because she's on the same side of the bracket with Sabrina Carpenter. Until they met up in the semifinals, Sydney Sweeney really had an opportunity to win this whole battle, right? So I eliminate a strong competitor from him, right? So he may have, we went 2-2 last week, right? So of the 8 matchups, I've only won 3. So he's taken 5 of my pieces, right? He's taken 5 of my pieces. Now, Tate McRae is a big one that he took from me, right? But I have Addison Rae still in the game. And I took out a big piece of him. Kerry Hilston's not winning, wasn't winning next week, right? Or the next round, right? But so he doesn't eliminate a lot of people that, right? I still have big hitters. My big hitters are still in the game, right? I took out probably his biggest hitter. So that's how I'm looking at this. That's how I'm justifying this round. You know, as much as I hate Maddie Klein being removed from this bracket, I think unjustly. Y'all didn't do your research. Margot Robbie's stunning, absolutely. But there's no way she's hotter than Maddie Klein. No way at all. No way at all. But that's Thirsty Tuesday. Tune in next week for the next set of matchups. I'm going to go ahead and tell you who they are right now so that you can prepare for them. We're going to have Zendaya versus Kate Upton. That's a tough battle. We're going to have Vanessa Hudgens versus Mila Kunis. We're going to have Miranda Cosgrove versus Ilona Mayer, which is most of y'all probably don't know, but y'all, again, do your research. And then we're going to have Jennifer Lawrence versus Abella Danger. That's an obvious one, that right? So if I'm looking at my picks, one, like, that one's 50-50 for me. There's two definite. Kate Upton should win, and Abella Danger should win. Mila Kunis, Vanessa Hudgens, 50-50. And the other one I'm expecting to lose solely because y'all don't know who Ilona Mayer is. And you should. She's beautiful. She's a rugby player, so she's going to get judged for her physique. I 100% know that this is going to happen already. But with that, that's Thirsty Tuesday. We'll vote next Tuesday on the next round. And we'll move forward. But I want to, while we're on the topic of baddies, right, I want to talk about this because Wavy D said a thing on Monday night in the casual wrestling Discord. He said, man, this man, we too deep like women that have no titties. Like he basically said, I only like flat-chested women. Now, he has somewhat of an argument in saying that. I do like women that are a little bit, you know, not. Here's my point of view on this is titties are great, but they're sacks of fat. They're literally just sacks of fat. And to me, anything more than a handful of titty is a wasted titty, right? So I, again, and also physical attraction is not my number one thing that I look for, right? It is personality. It is, and I know that's like a cop-out thing to say, but it to me, it is personality, right? And so, bro got mad disrespectful there. Yeah. Bianca Belair is not the biggest breasted woman in the world, but I look past the titties, dude. I look at the face. I look at the legs. Legs are I've already told you this, right? I have different priorities in terms of attraction than just the titties and the ass, right? Moving forward, to prove my point, I'm going to, we're doing this thing here. So about a month ago, maybe longer than that, Milwaukee Mike, as part of the casual wrestling community, stated, you know, I need to find a new wrestling bae. And we're going to run a bachelor, right? And he created like a 32 woman bracket, and he was just going to sort of like go through it, right? So I was like, okay, well, let me do that as well. Let me rank my top 32, do a bracket, put them in a bracket form, and let them battle out. And we'll determine who I think is like my wrestling boo, right? So I've already done this. I've had this saved for probably about 3 weeks, contemplating if I should actually do this. So we're going to go through and do this, right? So these are just WWE wrestlers, announcers, anyone from all three brands. There's a little, so what I did is I literally just went through the women's roster and picked who I thought was the 32 hottest women. So those 32 women are Jasmine Nix. Now these are not in order, right? These are not in my order, right? Jasmine Nix, Liv Morgan, Fallon Henley, Zelina Vega, Jada Parker, Alexa Bliss, Dakota Kai, Charlotte Flair, Issy Dame, Thea Hale, Rhea Ripley, Tatum Paxley, Carmen Petrovic, Sam Irvin, Rin Sinclair, Jade Cargill, Sol Ruka, Ariana Grace, Julia, Kathy Kelly, Maxine Dupree, Jakara Jackson, Tiffany Stratton, Cora Jade, Kalani Jordan, JC Jane, Gigi Dolan, Brinley Reese, Roxanne Perez, Bianca Belair, Kiana James, and Stephanie Vakir. I actually forgot I put her on this list, to be honest with you, because I was watching NXT this week, and I was like, Stephanie's a little bit more attractive than I remember her being. Anyway, so we're going to go through this. I named them basically in how they appear on the bracket, right? So the first matchup, we're going to go through this whole bracket. It's already completed. No voting's happening. I already done the bracket, right? First matchup, Jasmine Nix versus Liv Morgan. Jasmine Nix wins that 100% of the time. No need to explain. Fallon Henley versus Zelina Vega. Y'all may disagree with me. I don't find Zelina all that sexy. She's got a decent body. Her head big as shit. And she again, I look at personality. She one of them weird like streamer gamers. And I'm not a big fan of all of that like cosplaying type shit. So Fallon Henley wins this, right? Jada Parker versus Alexa Bliss. 100% Jada Parker 100% of the time. Charlotte versus Dakota Kai, right? Dakota Kai wins this 100% of the time. Charlotte's attractive. Charlotte is. I'll give her that. Dakota Kai wins solely based on the accent, 100%. Like, I'll be biased like that. It's the accent, right? Issy Dame versus Thea Hale, 100%. Issy Dame every single time. Tatum Paxley versus Rhea Ripley. I'm going to get some heat for this. This is the two goth gimmicks on the list, right? Mommy versus Tatum, right? And I think Tatum does golf better than Rhea Ripley, right? In terms of presentation, right? Tatum Paxley is hot as shit, dude, right? Like I look at Rhea and I see, well, you're turning into a dude. You're trying to become motionless and white, right? Tatum Paxley, I look at goth and I see, okay, you're trying to play like the weird goth girl at school, that typically We Too Deep was kind of attracted to, like secretly attracted to, but wouldn't tell nobody, right? That's what Tatum Paxley is, right? Tatum Paxley wins this. Carmen Petrovic versus Sam Ervin. Probably going to piss some people off. Go look up Carmen Petrovic. She's much 110% more attractive than Sam Ervin. I said this a couple weeks ago, and it pissed some people off. Sam Ervin is actually quite mid. Sam Ervin is mid as shit. People only like her because she's willing to give you thirst traps on Instagram. But when you look at actual like beauty and look at this objectively, she's mid. She's a six. Not bad. A six. A six is a North Carolina 10 all day. Like if Sam Ervin walked up to me and said, "Hey, you want to go out?" Sure, why not? Sure. Absolutely. But Carmen Petrovic on that scale, where Sam's a six, Carmen's an eight or a nine, right? Rin Sinclair, Jade Cargill. It's Jade Cargill all day long. So that side of the bracket, first round done. Rest of the first round, Sol Ruka, Ariana Grace. Sol Ruka all day. Julia versus Kathy Kelly. Kathy Kelly all day. Maxine Dupri versus Chikara Jackson. Maxine Dupri all day. Tiffany Stratton versus Cora Jade. This one's tough because these are your plastic. These are your plastic Barbies that got all the work done, right? And of the two, and I may regret this choice, I picked Tiffany Stratton. But thinking back, like looking at it now, maybe this is just recency bias because I just watched Cora Jade. I'm gonna stick with Tiffy. Tiffy time all day. Absolutely. Kalani versus JC Jordan. JC James. Kalani Jordan versus JC James. Excuse me. Kalani Jordan. Gigi Dolin versus Brinley Reese. This might be one. This one was tough because Brinley Reese is attractive, right? But Gigi Dolin is, you know, this would be the only one I would change. I picked Gigi Dolin, so we're going to continue with that on the bracket. But I probably would, in hindsight, change this to Brinley Reese, to be 100% honest with you. Bianca Belair versus Roxanne Perez. There's no doubt about this. It's Bianca Belair. Kiana James versus Stephanie Vaquier. Kiana James, without a doubt. So now we're in the second round. Jasmine versus Fallon Henley. Jasmine Nix, without a doubt. Jada Parker versus Dakota Kai. I love Dakota Kai, but you're not voting against Jada Parker in this competition, right? Jada Parker. Is she Dame versus Tatum Paxley? I love Tatum Paxley, right? But Issy Dame is more attractive, right? Carmen Petrovic versus Jade Cargill, right? It's Jade Cargill, without a doubt, 100% of the time. Kalani Jordan, Bianca Belair. This is the toughest matchup of the entire competition. The toughest matchup of the entire competition. It's Kalani Jordan, though. It's Kalani Jordan. I think Kalani just has a little bit more of a cuter face to me. I think that's what it is, 100%. But they're the same to me, right? It's just the face. Maxine Dupri versus Sol Ruka. Now, y'all know I love me Maxine. Thin waist, long legs, love Maxine, right? Sol Ruka, though, is a little bit different. Like, Sol Ruka she's it. We're in the semifinals now. Jasmine Nix versus Issy Dame. It's Issy Dame all day. All day. Bron Breakker, a lucky-ass motherfucker. Izzy Dame, all day. And then Sol Ruka versus Kalani Jordan. I pick Sol Ruka, right? So Izzy Dame versus Sol Ruka. And Sol Ruka is the winner of the We Too Deep WWE Bachelor. Let me know what y'all think of that result there. So let's try to end this thing quick. We got a couple topics here in sports talk, right? This is where we're going to the sports talk part of the show. So let's talk about it. We had two big trades. Davante Adams and Amari Cooper were traded, both to the AFC East. Amari to the Bills, Davante to the Jets. Some big trades in which two big-name receivers get traded for literally nothing. Kind of figured – Davante would go back wherever Rodgers was with Nathaniel Hackett. I kind of figured that would happen eventually. Amari was kind of a weird trade to me, but this gives the Bills a number one receiver which they need it. Yeah, I think this is these are good trades. I don't hate them at all. The next topic is, who are my, at this current moment, if the college football playoff were to start and I was the single member of the committee who got to determine who got in the playoff. Now, currently, this is just based on as of this week, right? As of the games last Saturday, as we have played, who are my top 12, right? So my top four seeds are Texas at one, Oregon at two, Clemson at three, Iowa State at four. I think Clemson has played a lot better than Miami this year, and so they're going to win. So let's break down the college football playoff bracket, by the way. The top four seeds are the conference winners of the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12, what we call the Power Four conferences. The winners of those conferences will get an automatic lock into the first four seeds. The only other conference winner that gets an automatic lock will be what they call the next best conference, or the next best of not the Power Four. So more than likely, being that the Pac-12 isn't necessarily considered a conference and don't have a conference championship game, the two teams in the Pac-12 still until the beginning of next year, they don't even play each other this year. Oregon State and Washington State don't even play each other this year, right? So they don't get an opportunity, I don't believe. And so it's going to be either the Mountain West, which will either be won by UNLV or Boise State, more than likely, or the Sun Belt, which will be James Madison. 100%, if James Madison wins out, they're going to win the conference. I thoroughly believe that'll happen too. Now, I think the winner of the best of that will be the, just by prestige, would be Boise State. And so they'll get a lock into the top 12, but they don't get an automatic bid in terms of like a bye week or something, right? So the first four seeds, the conference winners of the Power Four, essentially get a first round bye. So to me, I believe that will be Texas, Oregon, Clemson, and Iowa State. Just as we stand right now, right? Five to me is Ohio State. Six is Alabama. Seven is Georgia. Eight is Miami. Nine is LSU. 10 is Penn State. 11, Boise State. And then 12, as we stand right now, will be Indiana. That's how I project that this would look as we stand right now. Could change throughout the rest of the season, right? So that's my I'm gonna play this bracket through. If this was the bracket, how do I anticipate this happens, right? So 8 and 9 game will be LSU versus Miami. I think Miami wins that game. Ohio State versus Indiana, the 5-12 game, will end up Ohio State's gonna crush Indiana, 100%. To the point, I don't think Indiana actually makes the bracket, but as we stand right now, they do. But I think they lose two or three games during the rest of the last 6 weeks of the season leading up to the playoffs, that I think Indiana gets thrown out. But as of now, they are in, right? Boise State versus Alabama, the 6-11 game will be Alabama. And then the 7-10 game, Georgia versus Penn State. I am going to pick Penn State to win this game. I think Penn State will upset Georgia, 100%. There's even a chance that I think Penn State could win the Big Ten, but they would have to get past Oregon, I think, right? They would have to get past Oregon, right? I don't think that happens. So then we get to the second round of the playoffs, the round of eight, essentially. And it's going to be Texas versus Miami. Texas wins that all day. Ohio State, Iowa State will technically be an upset because I think Ohio State wins. I think they're better than Iowa State. I don't think Iowa State actually makes the bracket because I think Kansas State wins the Big 12. But as we stand right now, Iowa State's the best team in the Big 12. And then on the other side, Clemson versus Alabama. I don't think Alabama's as good as everyone hypes them up to be. I think Clemson wins this matchup. Especially, I do believe the round of eight, I believe is a home game. It would be in Clemson. I thoroughly believe that's how it's played. I don't know to be certain, but But if it is in Death Valley, without a doubt, Clemson's beating Alabama. But I think no matter where it's located, Clemson moves on to the Final Four. And between Penn State and Oregon, which I think will be a rematch of the Big Ten championship game, I think Oregon wins that. So that gives us Oregon versus Clemson and Texas versus Ohio State as the Final Four, in which I believe we're going to have Oregon beat Clemson and Ohio State beat Texas, which gives us a rematch of the beautiful game we just had last week of Oregon versus Ohio State. I think they're writing the book for this to happen. I think no matter what teams get in, this is going to be your championship game. Ohio State versus Oregon, Big Ten matchup for the championship. That's where I believe that happens for the college football playoffs. And the last thing we're going to talk about is who is to blame for the abysmal play of the Dallas Cowboys. 100% it's Jerry Jones. 100% it is Jerry Jones. Dude takes so much credit for the past of all the Super Bowls, when really that was Jimmy Johnson. That was Jimmy Johnson as the coach who built that, right? This dude micromanaged. Like Jerry Jones seems like a micromanager. Right, and I hate micromanaging. I couldn't work for the Cowboys with Jerry Jones as the owner. Right, but this goes into a bigger topic because it is Jerry Jones. I think Cowboys fans know that it's Jerry Jones, and if Jerry Jones sold the team to an owner who would get his hands out of the football work and just sit there and be the owner, right? I live in North Carolina. Right, the Carolina Panthers are going through the same struggle. David Tepper keeps his hands where he doesn't belong. You just pay the money, right? Do owner stuff. Hire a GM, which they got Dan Morgan here in Carolina. Dallas is a little bit different because Jerry Jones controls football operations, right? You're not good at that, Jerry. You're not. Hire a GM. Let him handle that. Let your coaches do shit. And you just go back and do ownership, right? And – right, so I think the Panthers will eventually get out of the problem there, but it still seems like David Tepper is sort of hands-on in the decisions of football operations, and he can't be, right? Some of these owners don't understand the game of football. In fact, I think a lot of the owners don't understand. I think the Jaguars are having the same issue, is that ownership, which is Shad Khan, director of football operations, I think, for the Jaguars. That's Tony Khan, right? And a lot of people are like, you're just going to throw this in the shit on Tony. No. He has a relationship to the owner, and so he's going to do what the owner wants. Daddy's going to walk in and say, hey, I think we should get this player, and he's going to do it, right? I think when you have an owner of a team who doesn't understand the sport, just sees the business aspect, you should get him out of football operations. And you should hire people who understand the game of football to do that, right? And that's the problem with the Cowboys, is you have Jerry Jones, who I'm not going to say doesn't understand football, but he's not good at the operations part, right? And so my big frustration with the Patriots as a fan was that I don't think Bill Belichick is a fantastic coach. He was an awful GM. Bill Belichick can coach. He's the greatest coach to ever coach. But when you look at, like, running a team and managing a roster and managing coaches and managing a group of employees that are supposed to come, right, Bill Belichick could not be a GM to save his life, right? If I was an owner of a team and I needed a new GM, Bill Belichick would be the last person I would call to run my football team. But he would be the first person to coach my football team. Right, but a lot of these coaches, like we saw this with like Chip Kelly, when Chip Kelly came in to coach the Eagles, he wanted some GM roster control, so they got rid of Howie, right? And then Chip Kelly did some stupid shit, and then they brought Howie Roseman back, and now Howie Roseman built up a Super Bowl winning team, who's consistently, making trades that make no sense. How he swindled people out of this deal. Right, the AJ Brown deal makes no fucking sense. How the Tennessee Titans would just let AJ Brown leave for practically nothing makes no sense. how Howie Roseman can somehow just get so lucky that in consecutive drafts, he ends up with you know, Jordan Davis, the other dude out of Georgia, Jalen Carter. He ends up in the same draft drafting Cooper, or not the same draft as that, but in the same draft class, getting Kenyon Mitchell, who was rated the best corner, and Cooper DeJean, who's rated the best safety. Now, they're not playing up to that potential right now, but that's where coaching comes in, right? A lot of times when you draft, you're drafting on potential, but you get the two top-rated players in the secondary positions, and you get Cooper DeJean in the second round, which means he's cheaper. You only have him for 4 years, so if he doesn't work out, you don't have to, you know, waste a first round pick on him. I want a GM on the Patriots who could do that, because Sam Elliott or whatever the fuck his name is that's running the Patriots, just not good at it. Like we have so much cap money to go build a team around Drake May, because I do believe Drake May is the future. He showed himself. He earned a little bit of like respect for me as a quarterback last week. But now he's getting an MRI. He may be out of the, and we don't know what the results of the MRI is. At least I don't at the current moment. Right. And so hire football personnel to do football stuff. If you're an owner, back the fuck up. Right. Like I like how teams like Washington, right? The Washington Commanders, right? Had an owner in Dan Snyder who either was in football operations and couldn't do it, or he was causing drama behind the scenes that were just distractions, and he just wasn't a good owner to begin with, right? And so guess what? Eventually, through a lot of pressure of the fan base, Dan Snyder sold the team, and he sold it to a guy who owns the 76ers. He owns the New Jersey Devils. He's not going to participate in the hands-on of football operations. He hires football operation guys. He hires very good coaches. He brings in a GM who then brings in very good players. And they're leading the NFC East right now with a very good chance of winning the division. So the owners get Jerry Jones, get out of football operations, hire a GM, and I think you could build a roster that could win the Super Bowl because you got pieces. Dak's a good quarterback, not worth what he got paid. CD's a good receiver, not worth what he either got paid or will get paid, right? Ferguson's a good tight end. You've had a good offensive line the last 10, 15 years consistently, right? You got Rico Dowd, who's a good young running back. You had a defense, right? You had Micah Parsons, Landon Vander Esch had a very good secondary. The Cowboys' Super Bowl window's closed. They've spent all their money. They're done. Until they get rid of these players, and then the window can open again as they start to develop. Cowboys are done. Like, I think the Cowboys have a chance of, like, finishing third in the division. Because I do think this is Washington's division this year, 100%. That's just my take. Let me know what y'all think. Thank y'all for watching the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. My name is Weed Too Deep. Until next time, I will see you all on Tuesday, and I hope you all have a great rest of your day and a great weekend.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, Slapping Meat Wrestling every Tuesday.